You ain't heard about Moto Casino? Moto has real Vegas slots. Any game you can find on the floor in Vegas, you can play it on Moto. I like my slots hot. Moto's free to play, like food stamps. In line at the grocery store, at a funeral, in traffic. Keep your eyes on the road. Hop on Moto Casino. Moto Casino got jackpots that are bigger than my belly. Moto, America's hottest free-to-play social casino.
Download the Moto Casino app today. Moto Casino is a social casino. Void where prohibited. No purchase necessary. Visit Moto.us for more details.
Moto Casino. America's social casino.
Odd Trails is a true paranormal podcast. If you have a story to share, send it to stories@oddtrails.com. Enjoy the show.
Forget facts. Forget logic. Forget everything that seems real. Just trust. Believe.
The Ghost of 85B by True Emergency 5150. This is more my dad's story than mine, but I think it needs to be shared. In August of 2006, my family was stationed at Fort Riley in Kansas. We moved into this gorgeous duplex at the end of a horseshoe-shaped neighborhood. The house was built in the early 1900s and had an unfinished basement, with those pole lights that only light up the small area around you. In the basement, there were also the smallest boot prints in the cement that looked like they belonged to a child. Irrelevant, but still strange information. The house had a grand staircase that only went from the ground floor to the second floor, and a back staircase that went to all four floors, originally intended for servants. The ground floor held the main living areas, and my brother and I stayed on the second floor. I snagged the primary bedroom, which had its own doorbell. For a six-year-old, this was awesome, but probably obnoxious for everybody else. My parents stayed on the top floor, which had an unfinished attic that held pieces of original furniture. A babysitter once joked that vampires lived in there. About a month after moving in, a woman knocked on the door and introduced herself as part of the Fort Riley Historical Society. She asked for my family's permission for the home to be featured in the annual Halloween ghost tour, informing us that it's usually a stop on the tour. She let us know that the home was host to a spirit called the Buckskin Ghost, as he appears as a man in buckskin clothing. We informed her we were new and hadn't had any paranormal experiences. She asked how long we had been living there. My dad said about a month, to which she replied, "Oh, he usually shows himself by now." My dad politely declined to be on the tour. I think my parents either weren't believers or were scared. We were still unpacking at this point, mostly boxes that were in the garage, which was attached to the back stairwell near the basement. Dad noticed the light in the garage was out and went to change it. Completely normal. As my dad was reaching up to change the light, it came back on. He made sure it was screwed in all the way, climbed down the ladder, and put it away. When he returned to the garage, the light was out again. Confused, my dad fetched the ladder. By the time he returned, the light was back on. Frustrated, he moved the ladder out of the way, and the light went off again. So, he set up the ladder, climbed up, and was reaching up to change the light. It came back on. By this point, my dad was beyond frustrated and yelled, "Stop messing with me!" The light stayed on and didn't go out for the entire time we lived there. This was our introduction to the next 10 months. Other odd things happened in the home, like the radio turning on to a static station extremely loudly. And there were rooms in the basement that our dog refused to go into. Anytime something happened, we would refer to Bucky acting up. While we lived there, we learned more about the base's haunted history. We even purchased a book of ghost stories, which included our home. This book also featured a story about a little girl who befriended a ghost and would play dolls with them. When that family moved out, the girl left her doll at the house for her friend. Remember the original furniture in the attic? When we first moved in, we looked in all the drawers. In one of those drawers was that doll, something I didn't learn about until months later. I don't know what happened to the doll, but I only saw it once. For the most part, though, nothing too terrifying happened in that house. That was until my dad stayed there by himself. My dad was a night pilot, meaning he usually slept during the day. One day, he was woken up by the sound of heavy footsteps coming up the stairs from the base level. My dad got up, opened the door, and asked if anyone was there. Immediately, the noise stopped. He went to check the window overlooking the street to see if a service van was at the house. For those who haven't lived on a military base, they occasionally send people to the home to do things like change the air filters. My dad didn't see anything and went back to bed. He was woken up again by the sound of heavy footsteps, this time on what he perceived to be the second floor. My dad shot out of bed and went to the door, but as soon as he opened it, the noises stopped. He yelled again, "Is anyone there?" No response. So he laid back down. My dad then heard furniture moving in the room opposite the wall from the bed. The one with the original furniture. He jumped out of bed and left the house without a second thought. It wasn't until he was at work later that he realized he'd be going back home alone and began questioning what was in the house with him. I was 6 when all this went down, and for years we've talked about these experiences and others that happened there to friends and family. We've continued to check for more stories online about this house. Others have also experienced a friendly but mischievous ghost, affectionately called Bucky. I've had other strange experiences throughout my life, and I believe this house is what opened me up to them. I'm now dating a man who is a skeptic. While visiting my home in Florida, my dad told him this story. The light in the kitchen was flickering throughout his retelling. Jokingly, my boyfriend yelled, "Stop messing with me," when it flickered off. The light immediately turned on and stayed on for the rest of our visit. Look up Ghost of 85B, Schofield Circle, Fort Riley, Kansas. There are plenty of other stories from this base that deserve to be heard. I encourage others to do some research on this haunted military base. And if you live in this house, please let Bucky's story be told on the ghost tour.
Intruder by Single Joke 7888. This happened when I was 6 or 7. While this happened quite a while ago, I remember the incident very clearly. My family and I were living with our grandparents at the time, as they had a very big house. They had a 5-story house, but only the second floor was occupied while most of the rest of the house was unused. The only other floor that was used was the first floor, as we had to enter and exit the house from there. The rest of the floors were empty, with long, sprawling hallways and old wooden doors. The house was located in the middle of a busy neighborhood in my city. It was a really old house with interlocking metal chain gates on every floor, which were locked by my grandfather. Before 9 p.m., our neighborhood was full of life and sounds of vehicles. But after 9 p.m., the place became a vacant graveyard and stayed that way until about 6:30 in the morning. One night, as the neighborhood was winding down for the night, as usual, my grandfather started chaining the metal gate outside closed. It seemed like any other normal evening until my family went to sleep at around 10:30 or 11. That was when my grandfather heard someone fidgeting with the lock and the chain at the door on the first floor. Remember, we also had locks and chains on the doors inside. Assuming that it was me, my grandfather called out in Hindi, "Don't play with the gate, go to sleep." After that, my grandfather swore that he heard footsteps of somebody running upstairs with the lock loudly hitting the steel from being flung open. After hearing this, my grandfather grabbed his torch, walked to the main door on the second floor, and shined the torch out on the darkness. He was certain that he saw someone's leg, so he screamed, waking everyone up. My mom rushed to see what was going on and found my grandfather scared, leaning against the wall with his torch that had fallen on the ground. He was scared because he used to have a tenant. Someone used to rent a whole level of the house. The tenant was a man who lived there for a few years until he killed himself. My grandfather found the body after the man had been dead for 3 days. That incident shocked him, and he didn't want another tenant after that. So, thinking that he saw someone in the house really messed with him. This caused his mental health to decline, and he was deeply paranoid for the last few years of his life. After this night, sometimes my family swore that they would hear sounds of footsteps, dragging, and things falling from upstairs in the unoccupied floors of the house. There was a period of time after this when my grandfather and grandmother lived in that same huge house all alone. And at night, my grandfather would see ghosts and figures slithering around.
Casino. Welcome to Moto Casino, where the excitement never ends, with thousands of the hottest free-to-play social casino games, fastest payouts, and the best promotions in the industry. No tricks or gimmicks. Owned and operated in the USA.
Moto Casino is a free-to-play social casino. No purchase necessary. 21 plus to play. Void where prohibited.
Sign up today for a generous welcome bonus.
Moto Casino. America's social casino.
Download the Moto Casino app today.
Randomly Teleporting by Shizario. Something really strange has been happening lately, and I know I'm not crazy because friends of mine have experienced this with me on two separate occasions. I swear, I'm teleporting across town somehow. This has happened to me 3 times, and it's seriously starting to freak me out. It happened for the 3rd time less than an hour before I started writing these words. I was riding in my friend's car, heading back to my place from a movie theater on the opposite side of town, a trip that normally would have taken around 15 minutes. It took us 5. I noticed what had happened almost immediately, but I didn't want to say anything until my friend Eric did, out of fear of sounding crazy. During the drive, we randomly ended up downtown, close to my place, much sooner than we should have. The transition was so seamless that I couldn't tell the difference until I saw man-made landmarks like buildings. Eric mentioned that he didn't make any of the usual turns needed to get there. We just ended up there. We weren't distracted by conversation or anything, and both of us were stone-cold sober. Then, Eric started to freak out a little I told him about my other two experiences. More on those later. We made it to my place and decompressed for a little bit before he left. In the car, I told Eric about the other two events. The very first time I had something like that happen, I was walking to a gas station to grab a snack after work, and somehow ended up walking on a street a mile down the road. No time had passed at all, and I know this because I check my watch fairly often. The second experience was the most drastic of the three that I've had. I was in the car with another friend of mine, Jay, and we were on our way to Walmart, a 30-minute drive away from his place one morning. We ended up getting there in 10 minutes. He noticed what had happened shortly after we started the drive. We had taken a turn onto this more scenic road in my state of Virginia, which leads straight to North Carolina. Instead of heading toward North Carolina, we ended up on a very similar road, much closer to that Walmart, within a matter of seconds. The transition was nearly unnoticeable until I saw buildings I recognized from the part of town where the Walmart is. That experience freaked me out too. I have no clue what's going on, and to be honest, I'm really scared. I don't know what's happening, and I want to find out. Has anyone else experienced this? Another thing that happens, and this has been consistent all three times, is that I, along with Eric and Jay, get this horrible burning sensation in our lower chests, along with an awful sense of uneasiness. Standing up after an experience like that feels like a burden, and walking around becomes awkward and clumsy. All three times I've had this happen, we've been completely sober. Please help. I just want to know what the hell is going on.
Does anyone know the history of Columbus, Ohio in Franklin County by Grape Energy? I'm a single mom of two children. I moved to Ohio a few years ago from another state, but I've never been close to, traveled through, or visited Columbus my entire life. In the last 2 years, I've had a handful of lucid dreams where I know I'm dreaming in the middle of the dream and I call out to the characters. The dreams would get either bizarre or frightening after my discovery. It's getting to the point where I either have no dream at all or I have a lucid dream. I don't bring this on. In fact, I would like them to stop. A few days ago, the dream I had went from frightening to mortifying. I dreamt that I woke up and saw three people in my living room. I could see them from my perspective in my bedroom. I immediately hid the kids in the closet and confronted the people, yelling at them to get out of the house. I kept yelling until I noticed that they weren't moving and were laughing this sinister laugh. "What's so funny?" I asked, gritting my teeth. They said, "We're not in your house. You're in your house. Go outside if you don't believe us." I stepped outside, and the house looked completely different from my own and had a different set of numbers on top of the door. When I walked back in, the house morphed entirely into a different house. They were sitting in different spots, but hadn't changed their expressions or the positions of their bodies. They were still facing me. I asked where I was, and they told me the street and city. At that moment, I realized I was dreaming, but before I could stop myself, I yelled, "You guys aren't real. You're demons." Even I was shocked by my abrupt accusation. It didn't feel like I was the one saying it, though. It felt like someone else was speaking through me. I caught myself and said, "Just kidding," and started nervously laughing. The male of the group spoke up and told me that I wasn't dreaming and that this was the end for me. I asked for clarification, and he said without blinking, "Ma'am, you're dead. We're the ones that are still alive." He then asked in this customer service sounding voice if there was anything else he could help me with. I replied, "Yes, wake me up." As I woke up, my child, who still sleeps with me, reached their arm around me. I said, "Aw, good morning, sweetie. Did you have nice dreams?" I can't remember their response, but they spoke clearly with no errors. They have a speech delay, and I immediately knew that it wasn't them because of this. I tried to get out of their grip, but I couldn't. I started freaking out. After what felt like an eternity of struggling, I finally woke up for real. A couple of hours after I took my kids to camp, I decided to look up the specific address I surprisingly remembered. For privacy reasons, I'm obviously not going to share the address. I don't know the people who live there, but I will say it's located in Franklin County, Columbus, Ohio. The house looked exactly like the one in my dream, down to the font and size of the numbers on the door. I don't believe in astral projection, but that's the only explanation I can come up with. I've never been anywhere near this house. Does anyone know if anything has happened in this area that could explain this? Or is it just a coincidence and my brain is playing tricks on me? Sorry this was so long, but I needed to be precise. If you read to the end, thank you so very much.
Social Casino. Welcome to Moto Casino, where the excitement never ends, with thousands of the hottest free-to-play social casino games, fastest payouts, and the best promotions in the industry. No tricks or gimmicks. Owned and operated in the USA.
Moto Casino is a free-to-play social casino. No purchase necessary. 21 plus to play. Void where prohibited.
Sign up today for a generous welcome bonus.
Moto Casino. America's social casino.
Download the Moto Casino app today.
We Don't Leave Our Summer Cabin at Night by Epic Seagull. This story takes place in a very remote, wooden area in northern Sweden. I was around 15 years old at the time. I was staying with my family at our summer cabin, which was located on a hill. At the bottom of this hill, there's a lake with a wooden bridge and two boats. The property is surrounded by a dense forest, so the only thing you could really see when looking out the window is the hill leading down to the lake and boats. It was maybe 9 p.m. when a bunch of us decided to light a fire down by the lake. My grandparents, aunt, and mom decided not to go because it was getting late. We just wanted to look out at the lake, stargaze, and chat. We brought two of the dogs with us. After about an hour of hanging out by the fire, the conversation had fizzled out, but it was a nice silence. Suddenly, I started feeling a bit off and couldn't shake the feeling of being watched from the woods. We were sitting with our backs facing the woods and the cabin. The feeling was unsettling, but I tried thinking about other things. When out of nowhere, my dad just said, "Yes, I'm good." Everyone turned to look at him in confusion, since there was no conversation taking place. He looked back at the cabin and then at my cousin who was sitting next to him and said, "Yeah, I'm doing good." "What?" she responded, confused. "You asked me how I was doing, so I answered," my dad said. "I didn't ask you anything," my cousin said. My dad looked confused and then said he had felt someone lean over and whisper in his ear, "Hello, how are you?" He even described feeling breath against his neck and felt a hand rest on his shoulder. He thought it was my mom at first and turned around but didn't see anything. Right after explaining this, the dogs started growling loudly, while looking behind where my dad was sitting, towards the woods. We all freaked out, put out the fire, and started running towards the cabin. Ever since that happened, we haven't gone outside the cabin after dark. It's a memory that I'll never forget. But whatever it was, at least it was nice enough to ask my dad how he was doing.
Truck stops are either haunted or portals to hell by cake crumbs. I worked in the truck stop industry for about 15 years. All of the following stories took place at the same location. I worked there for less than 18 months. If people are interested, I have other stories from other locations, but this one had the most frequent occurrences of weird stuff happening. I was given the opportunity to help open this brand new location. And since it came with a fat raise and a promotion, I definitely accepted. It's now been about 5 years since that location opened. I don't believe there is a single employee left from the over 60 people that we hired prior to opening day. On opening day, not long after the ribbon-cutting ceremony, a woman who was delivering flowers dropped them on her sandaled foot, slicing it open and bleeding all over the entrance. Within a week of being open, we had water and sewage coming up through the drains, including the outside sewage ones across the property. It hadn't been raining, and it wasn't a flood situation weather-wise. We had no idea what caused it to suddenly happen. And just as quickly as it started, it stopped. The plumbers were even baffled. A couple of months after we opened, we faced a severe storm that destroyed the high-rise interstate sign and caused a 7-hour power outage. I had sent several people home, but kept a couple of employees in case the power came back on. As we sat in the restaurant dining room, chatting under an electric lantern, an employee who was a local resident mentioned that people were a little worried when this place was announced to be built, because the property had been rumored to be a Native American burial ground for years. Now, I have zero way to prove or disprove if that's accurate, but given the events that kept getting more serious as time went on, it makes you wonder. When the power came back on, despite the several steps I had taken, like unplugging all the equipment to avoid frying anything, we lost several pieces of expensive equipment. Some of this equipment was critical, causing major operational problems for weeks until it could be replaced. The first winter after we opened was the coldest in years, so cold that we had to buy space heaters for the servers in the electrical room so they wouldn't freeze. We had issues with frozen pipes, especially in the truck care center and the restaurant. 6 months after opening was the first death. A truck driver came in to take a shower in one of the shower rooms, and we had sensors on the door to let us know how long someone had been in there. If the timer had been going for a couple of hours, we would knock on the door to see if they had left so that we could clean it for the next driver. An employee knocked on the door of the shower that had been in use for a couple of hours, and there wasn't an answer. She used the key to open the door, and the driver was on the floor. He had died of a stroke. He had been driving a semi-truck for just 30 minutes before he entered that room. The employee who found him was significantly traumatized. The company did a great job offering their support, but she didn't last much longer after that. A few weeks later was one of the weirdest things I had ever seen. I was working on the restaurant side of the truck stop as the restaurant manager had quit after a series of bad things happened to her, and they asked me to temporarily take over. The assistant manager on the store side came over because something freaky had just happened. She pulled me into the office and showed me the camera footage of what went down. A small 4-door sedan pulls into the lot but doesn't park on the gas station side. Instead, it pulls into the truck stop side where the semi-trucks park. The car stops next to the maintenance shed, which is adjacent to the main building and very close to a large trash compactor.
The driver gets out, opens the car doors, and pulls out a trash bag. He throws the trash bag on top of the compactor, gets back in his car, and leaves the property. I don't remember exactly how long he was gone as she fast-forwarded the footage, but I think it was an hour or two before he returned. He parks back by the trash compactor, climbs on top of it, and chucks the bag onto the roof of the maintenance shed. He then climbs down, gets in his car, and leaves, never to return. An employee outside gathering the trash saw him throw the bag. The maintenance shed is more of a small building or garage, about 20 by 20. If the employee hadn't seen him throw it up there, it might have gone unnoticed, as the building was as high as a one-story building. The employee got a ladder to retrieve the bag. He then brought it inside to show the assistant manager. Inside the bag was a ton of paper. There were documents, and they listed hundreds or thousands of addresses across the U.S. Under each address was a specific hidden location on the property where a body could be found. There was no information on who the individuals were, just sex and location of the body or bodies on these properties. The location spanned from coast to coast, but I didn't get a chance to look too deeply into them. I was really freaked out and thought that touching them might contaminate something, so we put everything back in the bag. The obvious step was to call the police, and that's what we did. Now, the thing about truck stops is that they are often in remote locations alongside interstates for obvious reasons. The town where this truck stop is located has 3 police officers in total. It's a town with fewer than 1,000 people, so when I say the police chief showed up, it's because he was the highest ranking officer of the 3 in town. He hated us because truck stops bring in crime, and now he had a lot more work to do. He came in, watched the footage, and looked in the bag. The most frustrating thing was that he wasn't concerned in the slightest. He asked what we wanted him to do about it, said that it was probably a prank, etc. He took the items, filled out a form to request the footage, and left. I hope that he at least forwarded this to the FBI. A couple of weeks after this, a body was found, a bound, nude, and recently deceased man across the street at a dump. Because it was a dump, they had no idea where the individuals originated from. Sometime in the following weeks, there was a second death on the property. A driver died in his truck. In the midst of all of this, we had another severe storm, and the interstate high-rise sign was destroyed again. We had another strange incident involving abandoned things, but this one had a resolution. A driver showed us some ratchet straps and small children's clothing folded neatly next to a diesel pump. The combination of the items alarmed me, so I got on the camera system and called the police. I was able to find the truck that had left the items. Luckily, this time, I got the one amazing police officer in the town, and she followed up. She found the driver and called him. He had his kid in the truck with him for a while during summer break, but it had ended, so he brought her home to her mom. He was going to see her for a while, so when clearing out his truck, he left the clothing and straps, thinking someone else could use them. He didn't realize that the combination of the two might raise eyebrows. He was honestly very grateful that someone was concerned and followed up. A couple of months after the first year, the State Department of Transportation had shut down the off-ramp and on-ramp to the interstate exit because it started to collapse, and they were worried that the overpass might collapse as well. We had nearly no business for weeks as construction crews rebuilt the ramps and repaired the overpass. During this time, I earned a promotion to general manager and was moved to a different location. I kept in touch for a while, especially with my former boss and the assistant manager. But the incidents continued. A couple of months after I left, there were 2 major incidents, but I can't remember which one came first. One involved an individual who entered the building with a machete. He was aggressive and the employees were terrified. I wish I hadn't deleted it, but there was footage of state troopers coming in with AKs and drop-kicking the guy. I have no idea where he came from as he walked in, and this location is 10 to 15 miles from the nearest town. The second incident was when a customer attacked a teenage cashier because the cashier didn't get his lotto ticket correct. The customer then got into a brawl with the maintenance guy who came to the kid's defense. Over time, I lost touch with my old coworkers. They both left the location, so I stopped getting stories. And I don't know if the incidents are still continuing. Haunted? Portal to hell? I don't know. But what I do know is that I now avoid truck stops like the plague.
Social Casino. Welcome to Moto Casino, where the excitement never ends, with thousands of the hottest free-to-play social casino games, fastest payouts, and the best promotions in the industry. No tricks or gimmicks. Owned and operated in the USA.
Moto Casino is a free-to-play social casino. No purchase necessary. 21 plus to play. Void where prohibited.
Sign up today for a generous welcome bonus.
Moto Casino. America's social casino.
Download the Moto Casino app today.
So I think I know what happened with Grape Energy.
What's your analysis, Dream Boy?
I've only just started to practice doing this, but I've been told that you can actually astral project from a lucid dream.
Okay, yeah. So you think she projected from her dream into this other house in Columbus?
Right. And then when she thought she was quote-unquote waking up from the dream, she was actually returning to her body and back to the real dream with the weird kid that wasn't hers.
Yeah, I could see that. I'm about to severely hijack things here if you don't mind, but I had a very proud father moment this morning that's worth sharing.
Okay.
No, it's good. It's good. Trust me.
Okay.
So my daughter was excited to tell me that she flew around in her dream last night, which, okay, I was just like, cool, did you write about it in your dream journal? What else happened?
Yeah.
And she said that in the dream, she was at school and her teacher started handing out cans of soda. She knew this wasn't normal, which is reassuring to me, but it caused her to ask herself if she was dreaming.
Oh, she had a lucid dream.
She sure did. At 8 years old.
That's really cool. Did you teach her about doing reality checks and all that?
I did. I don't know if I'm more excited over the fact that she was able to craft a lucid dream so young or that she actually took my advice to heart and finds it as interesting as I do.
Yeah, that's awesome. I know a lot of people who have been trying to lucid dream for years and it just doesn't happen. I wonder if she got it from you.
I planted this seed, but I don't know if it could be considered a gift, if that's what you mean.
Yeah.
I think anybody who's able to remember their dreams is capable of lucid dreaming. It's just a matter of time and effort, really.
Mm-hmm.
But also, maybe even being able to remember your dreams at all is some sort of gift. I've known people who claim they've never had a dream, or at least they can't remember a single detail, which, you know, same thing, basically.
What if dreaming isn't some kind of blessing, but being unable to dream is a curse?
Ooh, a dark turn. I like it.
Yeah, yeah. I'm not actually saying anybody is cursed, though. Let's make that clear.
Yeah, to all the non-dreamers tuning in, please don't spiral and think you need to make 3 easy payments of $99 to have somebody come and cleanse you. You're perfect.
L'Oreal, because you're worth it.
I remember that one. Or Tresemme, Tresemme, ooh la la.
Yeah, yeah. But circling back to the lucid dream stuff, I'm sure that we have listeners who have been wanting to lucid dream for a while. So what do you find works best for you?
Probably just regular reality checks, to be honest. Really asking myself if I'm dreaming throughout the day and not just simply going through the motions like saying the Pledge of Allegiance when we're in kindergarten.
Yeah.
At this point, I think it's just from exposure and repetition. I don't really set out to do it at this point. It just sort of happens throughout the month. I think my dreamland has just become recognizable or something like that, because I'll have a non-lucid lucid dream, which I know doesn't make sense, but I'll acknowledge that I'm dreaming, which technically makes it a lucid dream. But instead of taking advantage of the canvas that's at my disposal, I'll just be like, no, not tonight, and keep things on cruise control.
Wow. Well, that is good info.
So what about you? Any life pro tips for any of our fellow dream travelers?
Well, I'm pretty sure I went into a lot of detail in some past episodes, so I don't want to ruin people's time here, but I'd say the number one tip I have is to just submerge yourself in dream-related content. Read a book about lucid dreaming, think about it all day when you're doing your reality checks, and just keep it in the forefront of your mind. Watch YouTube videos, listen to podcasts about it. I don't think it needs to be more complicated than that. You know, I'm very excited for your daughter, though. She could be the next Charlie Morley or Robert Wagner when she grows up.
Yeah, I'm excited to help her on the journey.
Yeah, it's cool that you at least have a good understanding of what lucid dreaming is and you can talk to her about it. When I would try to tell my parents about it, they would just kind of smirk and move on with their day.
That's nice, Andrew. Be a doll and fetch me mineral water.
More like a Dr. Pepper. It was the 90s.
So I guess we made up for our previous truck stop story with that really bizarre one this week by Cake Crumbs.
Yeah, I was skeptical when I first read the title, thinking, oh boy, here we go again. But I was pleasantly surprised. I really want an explanation for all of those documents that were abandoned containing all the burial sites.
Yeah, that's the kind of thing you hear about in some British crime drama. Super interesting.
Yeah, I was thinking the same thing. It's such a good plot device. It's easy to say what you would have done if you were in their shoes. I hear that kind of stuff all the time about Les Mis.
Yeah, that made me roll my eyes.
Yeah. But you never really know, especially when you find something like that. It's really scary.
Yeah.
However, I really do wish that they would have at least tipped off the FBI directly instead of going through their Mayberry, Andy Griffith-sized police department.
Yeah.
Maybe we would have seen it surface on some kind of true crime show or something.
Well, we'll just have to be the next Payne Lindsay and go demand to see those documents so that we can solve the case ourselves. Shout out to the Nome, Alaska Police Department.
No, I'm not kidding when I say yes. Please, can we do that?
Right after the ghost hunting, Skinwalker Ranch, camping, all the other endeavors we talk about doing, the rap EP, we got to start rapping too.
Yeah, but this is actually a great idea.
No, yeah, you're right. It would be cool to dip our toes into some meaningful detective work. The name Odd Trails would actually be really fitting for that. We could have our own reality show on TLC. Two amateur detectives who can't solve any cases, so we just resort to being sloppy private investigators.
Hint, hint.
For anybody listening, yeah, let's make it happen.
Let's make it happen. Thanks everybody so much for listening. Make sure you send your stories in to stories@oddtrails.com. If you want to get access to ad-free versions of all the episodes, head over to patreon.com/oddtrails to sign up and support the show today. Finally, make sure to check out the new episodes of my other podcasts like Let's Not Meet, the Old Time Radio Cast, and Cryptic Encounters at crypticcountypodcasts.com or wherever you get your podcasts. We'll see y'all next week, everybody. Stay safe.
Peace out.
Moro Casino, America's social casino.
Welcome to Moto Casino, where the excitement never ends, with thousands of the hottest free-to-play social casino games, fastest payouts, and the best promotions in the industry. No tricks or gimmicks. Owned and operated in the USA.
Moto Casino is a free-to-play social casino. No purchase necessary. 21 plus to play. Void where prohibited.
Sign up today for a generous welcome bonus.
Moto Casino, America's social casino.
Download the Moto Casino app today.